Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday to all of you here on Sports Talk. He's Adrian Broaddus. I'm Steve Kaplow. It's coming your way, 600 ESPN El Paso. 505-6009, our telephone number, 505-6009. We got a lot of baseball today on the program. Jay Jaffe is going to be joining us on the Longhorn Distributing Hotline, which is going to be busy today. Longhorn Distributing Hotline is going to bring us two guests today. Jay at 420, Jeff Erickson at 520. And by the way, I am juggling right now three fantasy baseball off-season like drafts at the same time. I've got one league where we're drafting prospects, a second league where we just finished drafting prospects, and we're starting free agency, and a third league where we are losing players from our roster. It's called the Rule 5 draft. You lose up to two players, and then you got to put two guys on your roster. So that's what I'm juggling all that right now. There's so much baseball. So much baseball going on right at this point in time. But I love it. It's a lot of fun if you play fantasy. So we'll do that at 520. Then, as soon as Jeff Erickson is done, Dan Longoria is going to drop by the 600 ESPN El Paso, River Oaks Property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. And he's going to talk about the big one coming up this weekend, which is the statue of Don Haskins that he and his wife Joanne are gifting to the university. Super excited about that conversation. So you will get a chance to meet Dan Longoria coming up in the end of our 5 o'clock hour, into our 6 o'clock hour. So and then we'll be with you till 7 today. A lot going on. Adrian, I'm fired up about having Alberto back with us today. I don't expect another rant like yesterday, but man, oh man, you want to talk about something that came out of left field when he was getting fired up and worked up. I heard a side of Alberto that I've never heard before since he's been with us on 600 ESPN El Paso.
I agree completely. We both looked at him after the show yesterday, and we were like, wow, man. I mean, that was intense. And he saved it for the 6 o'clock hour. Imagine if he had done it in the 4 or 5. Oh. We would have had nonstop phone calls on that rant.
We would have. He was just getting – and did you notice – you know what it reminded me of, honestly? You're going to laugh about this, but, like, which caller do you think it reminded you of? There's one caller in particular that rant reminded me of a lot. And I'm going to tell you why. Do you know?
It's somebody who gets fiery, like progressively fiery. Who is it?
Conrad.
Yes. Yeah.
I felt like it started off like kind of like passionate, but then he was getting angrier and angrier as the rant continued. And like you couldn't stop him. You couldn't interrupt him. You couldn't do anything. And it almost felt very much like a Conrad-esque rant from our own Alberto Urueta.
You're right. And you know what? It's because of those epic rants from Conrad to make his calls anticipated. So, yeah, maybe we need more rants from Alberto so we can feel very anticipated. Every time he's on the mic, it's like, wow, here we go. It's time to let him cook.
I would have no issue with that. In fact, if Alberto wants to really, like, you know, put the time in and come up with a topic every week that he is just going to go off on, I'm perfectly fine with that. In fact, I don't even want to know the topic. Like, don't even tell us the topic. You know, because this now reminds me of Tim Haggerty's story times. Like, when Hags gives us story time during the baseball season, and he has for like the last 3-4 years, because remember, it used to start with like hot takes. It was Hags' hot takes. And then it evolved from the hot takes into story time. And now
hypotheticals.
And exactly. Hags hypotheticals. That was good too. You're right. But remember, Adrian, like when we do these Haggerty segments every Friday, we don't even want to know what they're about. Like, as far as we're concerned, surprise us. And then we go right on and we hear it.
Yeah.
We're online. We're researching on the fly as he's going onto these topics to come up with follow-up questions because we don't even know what he's going to talk about. That should be the Alberto weekly rant situation. And by the way, I don't even think we should make this a weekly rant. I feel like this needs to just be when Alberto has something he wants to get off his chest. There could be 1 week where he does it three times. There could be 2 or 3 weeks where he doesn't do it at all. Like, this should not have to be forced. This needs to be a segment only when Alberto is so fired up that he just needs to get something off his chest.
I like this because it could be the, you know, it could be breaking news, or it could be a live reaction to that, and his well thought out process and you know, thought process of how he wants to dissect it and why he feels so passionate about it. And you know what I really like about Alberto that we don't do enough on this show? He can be versatile. Like, he can talk softball, he can talk soccer with us, and you know, the sports that we don't typically talk about on a daily basis. So I think that'll be very beneficial to us here on this show.
Multi-topics is what you're saying.
That's right.
And things that we don't cover. So it's almost like he can fill in the gaps.
That's right. Yeah. We got to make this happen.
By the way, do you have the audio from yesterday?
Oh, the rant?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pull it.
Please, because I think a lot of our listeners didn't hear it in the 6 o'clock hour. And what better way? So here's what we'll do, okay? If you missed Alberto's rant at the end of yesterday's show, we'll play it for you after the Jay Jaffe segment, which will be our final segment of hour number one. Okay, so that's when we'll play it for you. So if you missed any of Alberto's rant yesterday, don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll play it for you coming up probably, I would say, about 35 minutes from now, give or take. So
sounds great. Let's do it.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. Alberto, are you okay with the fact that let the rants come organically? Don't worry about forcing it. This doesn't have to be a weekly segment. This is simply when you have something you feel really passionate about, we'll give you the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'm just really scared of ruffling the wrong feathers. That's where I'm like, what if people don't like what I'm saying because it hits right in the truth bone?
So listen, I will from now on record a disclaimer before your rants. And simply put, it will say something like, the views and opinions of Alberto Urueta do not represent the views and opinions of 600 ESPN El Paso or Town Square Media. That way, you will have, it's your own rants. This does not reflect us. This is just yours. We have a disclaimer we're putting out there. And then you could just say whatever you want. And by the way, if you ruffle some feathers, you ruffle some feathers. That's fine. As long as you're passionate and you believe what you believe and you back it up, so that's all that matters. You're not in this business to make friends, are you? You're in this business to speak your mind.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I do have a lot of fiery opinions, or like a lot of opinions that just get me really fired up sometimes.
Well, the funny thing is we've never heard those until yesterday. Like, we always think of you as just the calm, cool, you know, you come on there, you do some reporting at UTEP games on ESPN+, you hang out with us, you handle the show sometimes, and then all of a sudden, like, that's one of the reasons I think why yesterday's segment was such a mic dropper, because we didn't see it coming. Adrian, you didn't see it coming. Did he even tell you this was going to be happening?
Well, I could see it in him that he was fired up about all the call. I mean, we had so much yesterday on the arena and polarizing opinions on it. And I could tell that he was getting, just the gears were turning back here. But I didn't realize he was ready to cook like that when we sent it over to him.
I didn't either.
I didn't
either. So, and by the way, Joyce Wilson, former El Paso city manager, will start us off tomorrow when we are live at the district, 3233 North Mesa, for our special lead-in to UTEP basketball. You know, come on down, hang out with us, get some great food and a beverage before the game. It's a great pregame spot or postgame spot. But how about the fact that tomorrow we will have among our guests, because we're going to have two different guests. We're going to have also a new member of El Paso Locomotive FC that you're going to want to hear. A very exciting name, one of the biggest signings of the offseason. We'll have that gentleman joining us at 5, and we'll have Joyce Wilson at 4.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for this one. I loved our conversation yesterday. I know that we didn't accomplish much in the conversation.
No.
I know that the as far as the arena, the downtown arena, the new developments with this, the shutdown developments, nothing has really materialized, and it made for great radio yesterday. Let's continue the conversation on it.
I think so, too. I'll tell you this much. Joyce is as passionate about the arena as Alberto is, and we're going to get a chance to talk to her about that. So she was city manager 12 years ago when that thing was going through.
Hey, and she also responded to Max Grossman's recent post to an email that was sent out to city council members.
That's true.
And then he threw out another response. It's just back and forth right now.
Yeah, listen, those two, you know, it'd be difficult to get them next to each other because they'd have a really tough time. It would not be.
We would have to stand back.
Yeah, exactly. It would be difficult.
You'd have to be like the moderator for something like this, Steve.
I'm not sure it can happen.
I don't think so either. That might have to be like a podcast exclusive if it ever happens.
I agree with you. So
with security.
All right. And by the way, apparently you've done some research on the El Paso earthquake fault lines.
Oh, that was from yesterday. That's right. Cade did as well. Cade covered that yesterday during the segment. Mm. So that's exactly right. Yeah.
All right. Before we get to Jay, let's spend the beginning of this show with Eddie and Fort Bliss. He'll be first up today. Eddie, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not much, Steve. How are you, brother?
Fine, thanks.
First of all, Alberto, let me tell you something. You can please most of the people some of the time, and some of the people most of the time, but you can't please everybody every time. So keep that in mind. Just go with what you have, my friend.
Good advice.
Now, with pitches being thrown in anger for the first time tomorrow, who are you looking forward to seeing in spring training?
So it's weird because I'm going in a couple of weeks, but I'm not sure who I'm seeing and what, you know, what games or anything like that. I don't know yet. But as far as teams and anticipation, it's got to be the Dodgers. I mean, I want to see Yamamoto and what he can do in spring training for the first couple of weeks before they head to Korea, because the Padres and Dodgers are going to be going to Korea and spending a few weeks out there. They kind of leave in the middle of spring training, but that's the biggest signing, you know, besides Ohtani, the Dodgers had this offseason, and I think all eyes are going to be on Yamamoto, don't you?
I think he's going to dominate the Cactus League, and I think Jackson Holliday is probably going to dominate the Grapefruit League.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like that's pretty accurate.
From what I've been hearing, Sean Casey said that, well, Sean Casey, I guess, has known him for years because of being in and out of major league clubhouses as a child with Matt Holliday. Sean Casey said he has some of the best hand-eye coordination that he's seen ever. So I think those two are really going to dominate.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I cannot wait for Jackson Holliday. Number one prospect in baseball. His dad was a terrific outfielder for so many years. And I can't wait to see, as a shortstop, what Holliday will be able to do. Because he has done everything since being drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, the future looks bright. As soon as they finalize the sale of the ownership for the Orioles,
yep,
that future looks really bright.
Sure does. All right. Beautiful. Good start. Right. Appreciate you. Thanks for getting in today, Eddie. Yeah, I think the future looks very bright for the Orioles. In fact, brightest it's looked since a young Cal Ripken Jr. helped lead them to a World Series in the early 80s. That's how long it's been.
What's real interesting, Steve, is they had been the subject of a lot of scrutiny in the past two trade deadlines. Oh, they're not going for it. They're not going for it. And they really stayed pat. Mm-hmm. And they've kept their young nucleus all together and intact. So now, is this the year? Do they kind of go all in on this year right here? Or do you see this window possibly extending further beyond just 2024 for the Orioles?
I feel like the Orioles are set up with their youth and their core to be among the better teams in the American League East for the rest of the decade.
Man, that's huge right there. I mean, and if you think about packaging a deal at the deadline, getting somebody that you really need, like whatever you need at that point, now you're in a better position here at this moment in 2024 than you were these past two seasons.
1,000%. So we'll talk baseball with Jay. He's coming up next. But first, let's go to Charlie One. Kick it off right with our first traffic update of a three-hour Wednesday with you here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Beer. What a great way to introduce you, right? You are the resident baseball and Hall of Fame expert, and you love to drink beer. I mean, is there a better – I mean, you always say peanut butter and jelly goes together, but baseball, Hall of Fame, and beer, Jay, come on. That's the greatest.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
When is Three's Brewing just going to get smart and name a beer after you? A Jaws
beer.
Hey,
I don't know. Right now, I'd settle for them delivering to me. They've stopped the delivery program. It's kind of a bummer.
Oh, that's not good. Not with the new move for you. So that's the last thing you need. But no, I want to see a Jaws beer from Three's Brewing. That would be awesome.
We'll see.
All right. So here's what you've been writing about in the last few days: Daniel Vogelbach signing with Toronto, the injuries to Kyle Bradish and John Means out in Baltimore, Corey Kluber retiring, and Yrjesson Profar rejoining the Padres. So I'm sure as enticing as Vogue to Toronto goes, you're ready to start digging in with some big ones here as we get ready for spring training, aren't you?
You know, sometimes you just got to take what's there. I mean, the Vogelbach signing was kind of a window into just how disappointing Toronto's offseason had been. I mean, you know, they thought they had Shohei Ohtani landed. They were talking about Cody Bellinger. They made an extension offer to Matt Chapman, and they've come away having spent about $38 million total in commitments on position players, which is pretty paltry when you're talking about what they could have done. And I think their lineup has gone backwards. You know, and even when you're talking about signing a first base DH guy who swings left-handed, Joey Votto would have been the obvious choice there. And instead, they've got Daniel Vogelbach, who's doesn't have quite the same pedigree. But as far as the other stuff, you know, right now I'm looking at Giancarlo Stanton's rough season and his prospects for a rebound here. I know he showed up lighter at spring training and talking about a swing change. We'll see if that's going to have any effect here. I'm going to be taking a look at the biggest holes remaining on contending teams as well. That'll be for next week.
Good. I like that. And as far as Stanton goes, don't you love spring training when everybody always shows up in the greatest shape of their life?
Yeah, it's pretty amusing. But, you know, for Stanton, I mean, I think from what I understand, you know, because he's had this long string of lower body injuries, he's lost some weight and tried to regain some flexibility. We'll see if it works. I mean, he's only 34. He's not 42.
True.
You know, and when he hits the ball, he still hits it hard, just maybe not quite as hard as he used to. So, it's incumbent on him to find that missing power, and we'll see if he can do it.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. Look, I've always liked Stanton, but again, that is a great reminder about how dangerous long-term contracts can be for certain individuals. You never know if you're truly going to be able to get your money's worth and your value when you put somebody in a 10-year deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a 13-year deal, which was ridiculous, you know, on the face of it. But, you know, it's unfortunate it hasn't worked out. You know, I think the risks were there for, you know, the risks are there for just about any long-term deal, though. I mean, we've seen deals that have had even less payoff than that. I'm thinking Eric Hosmer, who just retired and announced his retirement today, and how little the Padres got out of that contract when they signed him, and that was one that was like, oh, there's no way this is going to work out at all. Whereas you look at the Stanton deal, and at least the first few years, he was still pretty productive.
Oh, sure. I mean, look, Juan Soto is going to be 26 when he signs his monster deal after this season, either with the Yankees or some other team, and I would expect a minimum of 10 years to go to Soto, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
And that only takes him to his age 36 season, which sounds like forever. But when you're a guy like that, I don't know. I mean, the question is, when do these guys even hit their prime? I mean, you wonder, is Soto even in his prime right now, or are we still a year or two away from that?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we've studied it, we've seen that players are peaking earlier and that, you know, guys generally, you know, as they age, I mean, the great ones are the ones who are going to hold up well in their 30s, but you know, when you're seeing a guy doing what he's doing in his early 20s, I think it's dangerous to assume there's going to be a higher ceiling than that. You got to be pretty glad you're getting what you're getting. I mean, even now, you look at his production, it's not what it was a couple of years ago. You know, he's had a couple of uneven seasons since then as he's bounced around. And you know, particularly with Petco Park not being as good a hitter's park as you know, as the Nationals Park.
Yep. We're talking right now with Jay Jaffe here on Sports Talk. By the way, Eric Hosmer spent some time with the Padres, so we know Haas well and came up with Kansas City and was a terrific young first baseman who never had a ton of power but always hit for a good average early on in his career. I'm curious, is Haas the kind of player that when he comes up on the Hall of Fame ballot in 5 years, do you think he'll get enough votes to stay on the ballot or after the first year, or is he a one-and-done guy?
No, he's easily one and done, and I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, if he even has the numbers to even get on that ballot. He had a sizable career, but let's see here. I'm looking at what he's got here in terms of his career totals, and I can kind of get a sense looking at that if he's even going to get on the ballot. I mean, yeah, 1,700 hits, 198 homers. Only 18.6 WAR. Guys with that WAR that low tend not to get on the ballot. So I'd be skeptical that we're even going to be talking about him in that light.
Interesting. And by the way, you bring up a really good point, because whenever we talk about who could get into the Hall of Fame, we never talk about what it takes just to get on the ballot in the first place. I mean, are there certain minimums that you feel just need to be hit by pitchers and hitters to even get on that ballot?
I think so. I mean, it's not automatic. I mean, there's a process for assembling the ballot, and we've seen the last couple have been comparatively smaller to some of the ones we've seen in years past, which has saved me a little bit of work here when it comes to covering all the candidates. But you know, particularly as we've seen wins above replacement become a stat that's more commonly used, you don't see many guys below a certain threshold. And I'm thinking you don't see position players with WARs in the teens making the ballot. You don't see, there's a lot of, starting pitchers, you're not going to see them with fewer than 100 and something wins, things like that. I mean, they're pretty loose. But the way it works is, you've got a six-person committee, and one person has to nominate, and another person has to second them. And you know, if they're feeling grumpy that day, they may not be that inclined to include the Eric Hosmers or whoever. And every year, there's somebody who gets left off. You're like, oh, why isn't that guy on? And you just wonder if he'd done something that maybe displeased one of those committee members, and they argued against it or something like that. It's kind of hit or miss at the lower end of the ballot.
Wouldn't it be weird though for a guy that was an All-Star Game MVP in his only appearance, and also a 4-time Gold Glove winner? Wouldn't it be weird for him not to make on the ballot just from those accomplishments?
I don't think it's that weird. I mean, he was a 1-time All-Star.
Yeah.
That's the bigger knock against him. He was a 1-time All-Star. He was, like you said, 4-time Gold Glover, but Gold Gloves alone won't get you onto the ballot. It's the total picture, you know, which isn't to take anything away from what was at times a very impressive career. I mean, he was a key player on those back-to-back Royals World Series teams, and figured in the World Series winning play in 2015. So, I know the Royals took a lot of joy in proving the doubters wrong. Mm-hmm. when they came out of nowhere to win. But that contract in San Diego looked like a bad idea from the start and turned out to be a pretty bad idea. It kind of fell apart for him.
All right, more with Jay as we keep things moving here on Sports Talk. But first, UTEP is playing ASU in softball right now. They just went down to the wire and lost a tight one in game one. We'll give you that and a lot more right now with SportsCenter. Adrian's back here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Continue on Sports Talk, talking baseball, talking everything from Eric Hosmer's retirement to arm fatigue. That's right. Cody Senga of the Mets is undergoing tests for arm fatigue. This is not unusual. This is part of spring training. It happens quite often. And between the Orioles injuries that you wrote about to Means and Bradish and now Senga, you just kind of have to hold your breath if you're a baseball fan, don't you? And hope that your team's rotation doesn't suffer any early season injuries.
That's a good way to put it. You know, with Bradish, what happened, you know, he'd actually had the injury in January, and the Orioles were successful in kind of keeping it on the down low. The news gotten out, they might have lowered their leverage in trade talks when they traded for Corbin Burns with the Brewers. So we learned about a lot of injuries as soon as camp opened. I mean, other guys who had gotten hurt and they didn't have to report that stuff until they'd gotten to camps. With Senga, arm fatigue is pretty common. These guys are building up from having been inactive. They've probably started their throwing process a couple weeks before they actually got to camp. And at this point, they're kind of feeling that first wave. But arm fatigue is actually kind of a good sign relative to the other problems. I mean, if you've got arm fatigue, that's a muscular thing, and that's going to go away in a few days. It's not a structural problem. You're not worrying about ligaments and tendons and all that. So this too shall pass. I wouldn't worry too much about Senga yet. There's a whole lot that can go wrong for any pitcher, of course, but fatigue alone or dead arm is not something to be particularly scared of at this time of year.
We had an interesting question earlier about who you're excited most about watching in spring training. One of our callers mentioned that. You tell me, Jay, are there any players or teams that you're looking forward to most over the next month?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to have baseball back. I am intrigued by the youngsters on the Orioles. I'd love to see Jackson Holliday for one. He's somebody I'm very excited to see. Can't wait to see Juan Soto in action with the Yankees. That's another one. I'm really looking forward to being able to see him at a ballpark near me, so to speak.
That's true.
And obviously the Dodgers getting to see not only Shohei Ohtani but also
Yamamoto.
Yamamoto as well. It's going to be pretty cool. Everything I've heard about him is he's the real deal.
Not to mention the fact that the Dodgers and Padres are like leaving in the middle of March to go head to Korea, where they're going to play games against each other and then start the season off.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. It's about I think a week and a half ahead of everybody else. I'm actually going to be in Salt Lake City during that time on a ski vacation with my daughter. So we'll have to figure. I'll have to figure out how I can watch it there in the wee hours.
By the way, you were just on a ski vacation a couple of weeks ago. Where were you, Jay? Because that looked like there was a ton of snow.
I was in Chamonix, France, which is kind of the southeast corner of France. It's closer to Switzerland and Italy. In fact, we crossed into Italy one day to go skiing, and we flew out in and out of Geneva. It's a valley that has half a dozen resorts that are all owned by the same ownership, and usually there's great snow there, but snow hadn't fallen in about 4 weeks there, and so we had to kind of stick to the trails. We skied. The climax of the trip was this was with my dad, who's 82 years old but still a very good skier, and his friend was we skied down a glacier on the last day. It's the Aiguille du Midi glacier in the Vallée Blanche. We had a guide for 4 of the 6 days of the trip, and the last day we had to do some precarious hiking along a trail in order to get to a spot where we could put on our skis, and that was pretty hair-raising. But I wish there had been a little bit more snow, because we could have gotten some powder skiing, and we didn't get that.
Still sounds amazing. I mean, the fact you get to go skiing with your dad at his age and your age is pretty awesome. So that's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was a bucket list trip for him.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. And then you get to go back and do it in Salt Lake here in a couple of weeks. That sounds like a lot of fun. I saw a story from Jeff Passan about baseball expansion and the fact that, it's inevitable. They probably will go to 32 teams. You tell me, are you happy with 30 right now? Do you feel like baseball needs two more?
You know, I think there are reasons where 32 would make some more sense. I mean, this has actually been the longest time that we've seen between expansions since the original expansion and since the start of the American League and the original expansion in 1961. It's time. You know, population is growing. The pool of available ballplayers is growing. You're always going to have teams on the bottom, teams that don't, teams that don't that aren't as competitive. But I mean, a lot of that is at least somewhat elective. I mean, geez, we're just talking about this expose on the Pirates and just how content with mediocrity they are. You know, and to say nothing of the nightmare of the A's and their messy move to Las Vegas. You know, there's bad ownership groups, but I don't think there's that many bad markets. I mean, to see what we could add here in terms of ownership groups that are excited to own a team and they're getting a fresh start. I'm kind of intrigued here. You know, I know that Salt Lake City is one of the teams that's under consideration, as is Nashville. Those might be the two leading contenders, but we'll see what happens.
Should baseball come back to Montreal, in your opinion?
Not without a dedicated ownership group that is committed to building a stadium. Things were such a disaster there, and they've had such a hard time getting together the right coalition of people to put in money. It would be great if there was momentum there. I don't see nearly as much momentum there as I do in the two cities I named. I think there's much more in the way of likelihood that it's going to happen just based on what's happened in the last few years.
Let's wrap it up. Beer pick of the week, Jay. What are we talking about today?
Okay, this was one that I tried for the first time at my Super Bowl party here. This is from an Atlantic City brewery called The Seed. This is their, it's called, oh shoot, what's the name of it? All Through Time. And it's an alt beer, which is a German dark beer style. It's kind of a hoppy amber ale. I really like this. It was not what I expected it to be just looking at it in a glass. Nice hop to it, a little bit peppery, very drinkable. I think this, let's see, what was the ABV on this? Was only about 5%. Very drinkable beer. I was glad to have some leftovers that kept me sampling it in the weeks after the Super Bowl.
Fun stuff. I love it. All right, Jay, great as always to chat with you. Appreciate the conversation. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Sounds good.
Jay Jaffe, folks, from Fangraphs.com as we continue. 41 past the hour. More sports talk in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. Start of hour number two. Welcome back, everybody. We also have a third man on this team today. He's Alberto Urueta. And, man, he went nuts yesterday in our final hour. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. 48 past the hour. Oh, what a weekend it's going to be here in town. My goodness. Can't wait. Not only is UTEP basketball home, but the Don Haskins statue unveiling has been talked about for months and months, and now it's a reality. And how fortunate are we to have the man that is making this possible by gifting the statue to UTEP? He's Dan Longoria, and he joins us here on the program. First off, welcome. It's your first trip to the show, and maybe there's a good reason for that, because you are connected with UTEP and Don Haskins in a way that I'm sure a couple of years ago you might never have expected it.
Cappy's Corner, thanks for having me, man. Just as I was telling you, I feel like we've been working on this thing for years, but from the time you and I started talking about this, it's been less than a year. So the statue unveiling is going to be incredible. As I was telling you, we don't have the stories like you guys do of the bear, but we're expecting the community to come out and tell those stories. And we've seen that. We've seen it all over our Facebook posts. We've seen it on social media. The community is excited, and so UTEP as well. So we're just happy to be doing it. We're so excited to be doing it.
All right. I want to talk about you and your wife Joanne, because you know, when you go and you see the statue this weekend and it's unveiled to the public Saturday at 4 o'clock before the game against Sam Houston State, you're going to see right there. It's going to say the bear, and then it's going to say a gift from Joanne and Dan Longoria. So let's talk about you, your wife, where you grew up, coming to El Paso, and how this road has kind of led you to where you are right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, grew up small town, El Campo, Texas, and, you know, moved to Houston, you know, right after high school and, you know, did some odd jobs like everyone does, and then landed on Mattress Firm, met the founders of it, and, you know, we started our journey. And I think when I started, they only had 9 stores, and now there's, you know, over 2,500. So, you know, as far as that's concerned, and us, you know, getting to El Paso has been a phenomenal market for us. We just like to give back. I mean, we don't really have a foundation per se that, you know, we all meet in a room and go, okay, well, what are we going to give to this year? You know, we look at things, people bring things to us, like you brought this thing to me, and we knew at that particular point, you remember, mm-hmm. we said, I said, let's do it. and so we did it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even believe, you know, we were doing it because it moved so quickly, you know, between Brian's contract and you excited about it. And, you know, I think I left town right after we met. And as I was in the airport and flying going, okay, what are we doing again? And so, but it's been an awesome journey. Joanne, you know, Joanne and I talk about everything. And so we go over, you know, what we're going to give, who we're going to give to. So no big foundation. It's just us two. And so we enjoy doing it. And it makes El Paso proud. And we can, I don't know what happens in Houston, Dallas, LA, San Antonio when somebody gives something, but here you can feel it. Yeah. You know, and maybe just because it's such a family oriented city.
Not to mention the fact that, okay, and you mentioned Brian. So Brian is Brian Hanlon. He is the world-class sculptor who took this project on. It's been a passion for him for a lot of years, too. When he finally heard the go-ahead that he can get started on this, I know he was excited. But think about everything that's come into play here and what's happened. So mm-hmm. even when you signed on and said, yes, I want to do this, mm-hmm. We had to get the sculptor, and then that was done. And then we had to find that perfect pose. And it's funny because Brian Kanoff, who has taken probably more photos of Don Haskins than anybody, maybe with the exception of Ruben Ramirez, but he might have Ruben beat, took a photo in the, I guess it was like the 80s. Yeah. And it's such an iconic pose that's the one that was really based, that they based the statue off of. And to me, nothing, absolutely nothing, just signifies what the bear is like than this particular pose from Brian Kanoff.
Absolutely. I hate to say it, I didn't know who Brian was, and driving around one day and I get a call and it's Brian, and he goes, Dan, it's Brian. I was a photographer, you know, for years and years and years, you know, for UTEP. And he goes, that particular statue is whatever. It was a pose that I mm-hmm. took of the bear, you know, years ago. And I thought, I've talked to Brian more than I've ever talked to Brian in my life. And so yeah. he'll be at the event and so happy to have him there. He gave me a nice framed portrait of that same pose of the bear.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm so super excited about that. But again, you know, just the outpouring from El Pasoans that have had anything to do with the bear. And so excited for UTEP, excited for the community.
Tell you what, I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. So I haven't seen this yet. And that's what I guess gets me the most excited is that as involved as I've been, I haven't seen anything since it arrived in El Paso, and now it's been installed. So I guess I'm going to be like everybody else this weekend, just super excited when it gets unveiled for the first time and see what it looks like.
Well, look, you know, I saw the face of it. That's all I've seen. I mean, it was wrapped pretty, you know, securely and tightly.
Yeah.
And it gave me chills when I saw it. Like I told you, I don't have the stories like you guys have, and so it just resembles, you know, the bear so much. And look, I've been looking at other statues across the country and see what sculptors are doing. What I'm not going to name the statue that I just saw, and it I'm telling you, Brian is a master sculptor. And so the community will be whoever's out there tomorrow and whoever's out there Saturday. And you know, it's going to be there forever. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to be shocked to see how great that statue looks. So he did. I can't wait to meet Brian. Did an incredible job. He's so excited. He thinks he's getting a makeup trailer or something to come in. I said, if he gets one, I get a makeup trailer too. So,
I love it. All right. We're going to come back more with Dan Longoria, folks, as we continue here on Sports Talk. Stay with us. Final hour next. 600 ESPN El Paso. Final hour of Sports Talk underway. We got a full house here today. Alberto's hanging out. Adrian right across the glass. We've got Dan Longoria here as well. Dan, you haven't met Adrian, but trust me when I tell you, when we first started talking about the statue, he got about as excited as you, and right. We've just been waiting and waiting for this weekend to hit. It's like this is the coolest thing that has happened in probably for us ever, especially if you're a basketball fan, right, Adrian?
Yeah, I would say that this statue is so anticipated. You know, I'll just talk about, and I'll speak to my generation, Dan. It's sure. So interesting because I was talking to Joe Golding this week at practice. We were talking about the statue being unveiled.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of the most Instagrammable spots. And you know what? That means something to recruits when you bring them on campus. It means a lot to the current players who are already there on campus to acknowledge the history. They see the banners. They see the jerseys that are retired. They see the Foster Stevens Center. They see the Haskins Center. But to have that statue, it kind of adds the cherry on top to all the legacy and the history that is UTEP basketball.
Sure. You know, I never even thought about that. I guess in this day and age with social media, like he said, Instagrammable, this thing could go so very viral that, again, the importance it puts on UTEP now that, again, that the school, I mean, and again, let's thank Heather and Jim Center for them getting behind it. I mean, you just told the story how you had to go sell it to them as well, too. And so Jim stepped up. And so I'm glad you mentioned Golding because Golding's a new coach, great job. And I didn't even think about what he would think about it. But if it helps bring, new recruits, that's awesome.
Not to mention the fact that El Paso just doesn't have statues. I mean, they don't. You think about so many, whether it's pro teams, colleges, other areas, there are like statues, bronze and other material that exist. Not in El Paso, not like this. We have I think there's a conquistador we have over by the airport. But when you think about this particular statue of Coach and what he meant to this university, this program, and this community, that's one of the reasons why, to me, this is such a big deal, because if you look at El Paso sports, you could say easily he is the most influential El Paso sports figure ever that's happened, that's come across El Paso. Mm-hmm. And yet this is kind of like, to me, the final tribute for Coach Haskins is a statue in front of the building that bears his name that now will welcome everybody anytime they go into that arena.
Right, for any event. Again, hats off to where it's being placed. You and I know that was not the first location that it was going to go. And so I think both of us driving by and we went, oh my God, that's incredible where they placed it. But look, I mean, Jim Center said it himself. He goes, he thinks that this is going to be the most photographable, people that take the most photographs when they come to visit El Paso that El Paso's ever had. You're right. There's one statue, the Conquistador. I don't know how many photos are taken of that, but I hope a bunch. But yeah, this is monumental, man. Monumental.
And not just that. Think about this. You have UTEP basketball, right? But you have concerts. Yes. You have all of the graduations that take place.
Yeah.
High school, college, inside the Haskins Center. And this is going to be the one area that everybody is going to want to be photographed, not by. So that to me is such a cool thing. And Adrian, you're right. It is going to become the most photographed thing in El Paso. And it's not even going to be close because of the significance and what the statue is going to look like when it's unveiled.
You know, I think everybody needs to start posting as early as this weekend, right? I mean, just getting a chance to see the statue. Everybody's got to make plans to walk in through that specific entrance, the entrance parallel to Mesa, so then you can actually take a picture in front of it. I bet you, Steve, there's going to be a line on Saturday for people who want to take pictures, selfies, whatever, family photos.
That's
be great to see different generations. Like my dad took me to UTEP basketball games to begin with, and it's because his dad took him to UTEP basketball games, and it's like a generations of UTEP fans and UTEP supporters who go out and watch these games night in and night out.
The generational topic is a great point to bring up, because when you go to games, Dan, and you go to the Haskins Center, a lot of the times you will see people that have been going to games since the 60s and 70s and 80s. And then you'll see the younger fans, and then you'll see even the younger fans. So it's like you do have 3-4 generations worth of UTEP fans all together, and now they'll have the opportunity to also be a part of that celebration Saturday at 4:00 when the statue's unveiled to the public.
Absolutely. And again, the stories that are coming out, So now with the statue being there, I can imagine a father and son talking about, well, hey, let me tell you about this game, or when I saw the bear do this, or I saw the bear do that. So again, the community needs to come out at Saturday at 4 o'clock. Again, like Adrian said, let's start posting. I've seen some of the Facebook posts already, Instagram posts, and some of the posts are legend. Some of the posts are, you know, long overdue. And just to that post of long overdue, well, guess what? It's here now. And exactly. So we need everybody to come out and enjoy it.
Dan Longoria with us here on Sports Talk. He is the president, CEO of Mattress Firm here in El Paso and Las Cruces. He is also the individual, along with his wife, Joanne, and his family, that has gifted the Don Haskins statue from Brian Hanlon, the world-class master sculptor, to the University of Texas at El Paso, and it will be officially unveiled Saturday at 4 o'clock to the public. You've had the opportunity during the course of this whole project to get to know Steve Haskins a little bit, mm-hmm. and really the Haskins family. If you can, tell us a little bit about what that has been like for you. And as you've gotten more connected into this project, getting to know Coach's son, Steve, and the family itself.
Well, look, first and foremost, I mean, again, it's for the community, but it's mainly for the family as well. Mary will be there. Steve, we all know Steve. Steve is just, you know, he's one of the guys. And so Steve's been incredible throughout this whole process too. Busy, you know, this came about as a busy time, you know, for us to get done and unveiled, so soon. But it's just been incredible. I have not met Mary yet. I can't wait to meet her, mm-hmm. and have her see the statue. So again, we're happy to share this with the Haskins family, the community, and UTEP. So it's been a great experience so far.
I believe Brent, David, the other brothers will be here with their families as well, the grandkids, and
wow.
You're going to see just that entire Haskins yeah. family there for that moment. And not only that, I love the fact that this is the same weekend that the 83-84 team is honored, because the significance there is that was the first team from that run to go to the NCAA tournament, and for about the next 10 years, all they did was hang championship banners and NCAA tournament banners from the Haskins Center. So
yeah.
They're going to have their 40th reunion,
right,
along with other members of the UTEP teams over the years: Tim Hardaway, Antonio Davis, Greg Foster. Some members of the 66 team will be back as well. Members of the teams from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. So all of these generations, the four decades of Coach Haskins at UTEP, players are going to be coming back. Coaches are going to be here as well. It's going to be the biggest basketball reunion that El Paso's ever seen as far as UTEP.
It's the Academy Awards of UTEP basketball, man.
It is.
So there's some big stars coming back, some big legends. I know Darby and team have pulled out all the stops to make sure that everyone feels comfortable and feels welcomed in El Paso, but that's what El Paso does. I remember bringing the CEO of Mattress Firm, Steve Stagner, a few years back, and when he left, I was taking him to the airport. I said, you know, so what do you think about El Paso? This guy is running a $2 billion business. He goes, you know, Dan, it's the warmest city I have ever been in, and I'll never forget that, the warmest city. What does that mean to you, right? I mean, it means it's just everybody makes you feel good or makes you feel welcome. And so I think there's going to be tons of emotion this weekend, not just with the unveiling of the statue, but the game and the legends that are coming back. And so it's going to be an exciting weekend. So please come out, you know, Saturday at 4.
I'm with you on that one. Saturday at 4 o'clock, it's all going to get started. They're going to have the official unveiling. There's going to be a pep rally. The ceremony is probably going to go for at least 90 minutes or so, because the way I'm looking at it, people are going to get there early. They're going to want a photograph. The program is going to be going on for a while, and then it's going to lead into the game at 7 o'clock that night. You're going to be out there at the game as well,
right?
And that's something that I know a lot of us are looking forward to. And I can imagine, like, talking about it is one thing. You got a little sneak peek at it. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you see that unveiled for the first time this weekend, it's going to take on an entirely different meaning for you, for this community, for this university. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about Jim Senner, Heather Wilson, the whole team at UTEP. And more than anything, it's going to become one of those signature landmarks that will now be on the campus forever.
Yeah. Well, you see it unveiled where it's supposed to go. It was different looking at it in a crate, right, and looking at the face of it going, oh, my gosh, wow, Brian, incredible. But when you see it in front of the Haskins Center right on Mesa, and you know Mesa is like an I-10, so many people travel through there, and all you'll have to do is look to the right or look to the left, and there it is. So that's going to be exciting that it's finally home. And, again, a great experience working with everyone. We are super excited about it. Can't say enough about it. I don't really know what to say. There's so much that can be covered with what the Bear did, just what he did to the game of basketball, right? And starting, you know, the five black players. I mean, and winning the championship, the 66 championship. So again, those posts on Facebook. I mean, he changed the game of basketball forever.
The fact that you never met him. And still,
I didn't meet him once.
Well, you did meet him once. Okay, yeah. So you did get a chance to meet him.
Yeah, but it was so fast. I mean, I was actually just I just started my business. I was actually running a store, and through a radio station, you know, we buy this radio. They're like, "Hey, you're going to go on the court tonight and get the game ball from the Bear." And I'm like, "Okay."
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, so I actually got to go on the court, and I can't remember what game it was. It was early. Late in the 90s, because we opened in 97, so could have been 98. I don't know. I mean, I really don't
know. It probably was 98, because I believe he retired prior to the 99 season. So it would have been his final season at UTEP when you had the opportunity to go ahead and meet him and get the ball signed for the promotion, which is really cool.
Well, you know, Steve, I just have to say that, you know, studying his pictures and listening to the stories of, you know, him riding around and whatever and thinking about the game of basketball, I'm an entrepreneur. And I just visualize him as an entrepreneur of basketball. He was dead on. That's what he lived, he breathed, and he ate was UTEP basketball. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he was so, you know, so enthralled in it, like we are. And that just came to mind today when I was looking at that photo. I mean, this guy was an entrepreneur of basketball. And so just great to have the statue home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, this community is going to love it. I mean, I'm. All I can tell you, Adrian, is just talking to Dan for the last half hour on the show and getting his thoughts on everything and just realizing what this weekend's going to be like. It's going to be just absolutely, I mean, hard to put even into words. It's almost like it's going to be emotional. That's the best way to say it. Words can't describe what people are going to feel when they get an opportunity to see that for the first time.
This definitely goes down as a milestone in UTEP athletics history. I think you have to reflect back on this date that's coming up on Saturday, the unveiling of this is definitely one of those milestone moments. I reflect back on the 2016 season where they honored the 1966 team for the 50th anniversary. That was a huge milestone. And some of those members who are a part of that anniversary are no longer with us. So you can't take these moments for granted. You can't take the moments where you get to see the Haskins family all together and getting a chance to unveil this statue of somebody who meant so much to not only them in their own family, but the community here and the family of El Pasoans here who felt like they knew Don Haskins himself and they felt like they were family members to him as well.
Yeah. And again, you know, again, not having spent a lot of time with them, but we knew this was important for the community and it's happening and we're super excited about it. And like I said, you know, you and I talked about it for 10 minutes and, you know, it was on. So it's been an amazing journey. It's really hard to believe. I drove by there today.
Yeah.
I just sat in the ticket parking lot and looked at the crate. That's how excited I am. And so I can't imagine what some of the emotions are going to be like for people that, again, spent time with them.
Exactly.
And I mean, can you imagine that, Steve?
Got to know him. That's the most important thing because believe it or not, Dan, you ask just about every El Pasoan that's been here for the last, you know, 15, 20, 30 years, they all have a Haskins story. Yeah. That's the best part about it. Everybody in this community has something that relates to that man. And that's what's so El Paso and so great about it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to hear that, spending, you know, some time with Tim Floyd. We went on a fishing trip with him and the stories that he told. They're just endless. And I just cannot believe, He touched so many people, not just the game of basketball, but he was a legend. He was an inspiration. He did a magical thing to the game of basketball. And you know what? We get to enjoy it right here in El Paso, Texas. So kudos to us and kudos to you guys. I mean, I call myself a native. I've been here for over, 27 years. And so we're just happy to bring it to the community.
How was that Tim Floyd fishing trip?
It was good. it was a great, Tim is a great fisherman. He's a great host.
Good storyteller also.
Yeah. We did that at a UTEP function where, you buy, whatever the trips are. And one of them was with Tim and the Margos, and it was fun. That's all I can tell you.
Awesome.
So yeah,
excellent. Hey, listen, I'll see you this weekend.
All right.
Thanks for dropping by.
You got it.
And congratulations. Congratulations on where we are at this point. And it's just so happy it's a reality. And it's because of you. It's because of Joanne. And thank you for the generosity, gifting it to the university, and making this a reality for everybody here in this community.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Adrian, thank you also.
Thank you, Dan.
Dan Longoria, folks, joining us here on Sports Talk. 19 pass. We'll go to Charlie Wen for traffic, and then we'll come back with more. Hour number three as Sports Talk continues. 24 past the hour as we continue. Our thanks to Dan Longoria for joining us here. All of our guests in studio always appear via the River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios, and Dan, no exception. We appreciate that, and he was terrific talking about the statue, and the fact that it's going to be happening this weekend is just, to me, mind-blowing. When we were actually, getting this planned out, and we were working on trying to pick the right weekend, and it happened to fall on the 24th of February. This was last fall, and now, Adrian, the fact that this is actually just days away, it almost doesn't seem real. And when I do see that giant crate, like Dan was alluding to right there in the front, and getting ready to see what it's going to look like when they unveil the statue of the bear, all it does is get you excited and realizing that this is actually reality.
Right. I mean, I can't wait for Saturday. Can't wait for the community to see it. I think everybody needs to throw it up out there and post it on social media. Send it to your family members if you're not the type to post it, send it off to family members and stuff like that. Just take a picture in front of there, or at least just walk through that entrance right there parallel to Mesa, because it's huge. What'd you think of the posters that were unveiled today and the giveaways that they're going to be having to commemorate the bear?
I thought it was great. I really did. That was one of the things I was wondering is how they were going to surround this weekend with those activities. And that's, again, they did so well with New Mexico State. And by the way, I do like the, it's a completely different type of poster than a statue, but it's the idea of showing a bear with a basketball. I'm like, you know what? They've never done that before. I wonder if that's something they're going to try to market.
I wonder if it will be as well. I mean, like the logo is interesting, right? Because it's a bear. I've never seen this used by UTEP in the past. It's got a tie on it as well. That's got like a little, that's got stripes of orange and black in that. They're going to be handing out 300 of these, which I'm like, man, if you were able to hand out 4,000 t-shirts, can we get a couple more posters printed? And I've got some friends who can help you with that kind of stuff, because these are sweet. I know I got texts from my family in North Carolina, for my family in Austin, for my family in Houston, saying these posters are great. Can you store and save some of them for us? And
now,
I said no.
Now here's the question. There's three of them. Okay, there is an orange one. There is a it looks like a blue one, and then there's a white one. And the orange one is the one that just shows the bear bouncing a basketball. Then the other one shows, and maybe they're reversible. I don't know how they're doing this, but there's one that just shows a very young Don Haskins. And then there's one that shows the bear itself with the bear in script and his signature below that. So, yeah, they're all different different items. Look, here's what I was hoping. I was hoping that they were going to have the actual Don Haskins statue in a poster. But I also understand why they can't do that. Number one, it hasn't even been unveiled yet. And number two, they can't photograph it yet because they haven't seen it. So it's like you can't do that either because that hasn't even been officially unveiled. So you can't do that. So I get that. And maybe there will be Don Haskins statue poster night down the road. So in the meantime, for this, you're almost like you're giving El Paso a little taste. That's the best way to put it.
Okay, it's hindsight's 2020, right? But if I was in marketing, I would have pitched to UTEP. Hey, look, what if you did like a little like a little selfie prop? That way, it's like this is the bear, you know, like some kind of a poster idea. But this is something that you can use to take a picture with. So then that way, you've got the bear in the background in the statue version, and you've got like a poster that you're showing off as well in that picture. So that would have been my thought. My favorite poster, by the way, mm-hmm. is the dark one, the blue one or whatever, with the actually Don Haskins on it. I like that one.
The young bear.
Yes.
By the way, do you think UTEP takes the actual bear that they're using and starts to market it in on shirts and caps? Do you think that happens?
Yeah, I do. I think that this is a no-brainer. This is a layup. This is an alley-oop right here. This is David Terrell throwing it up to Kevin Kalu for a dunk. So you gotta just execute it here.
It almost looks like there's a like he's wearing an orange and blue striped clip-on tie. The bear has that on as well.
That's right. Yeah, I like that note. I like that feature.
Alberto, your thoughts on the bear and the design and what UTEP's going to do this weekend?
Well, I got a lot of thoughts, and there's a lot of thoughts
no,
of brewing.
Oh, no.
And I won't say anything because I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me, but all I'll say is this. I really – look, when you go to the Don Haskins and you go, you know, through the I'll say the special events side, which is kind of where the bathrooms are when you're on
the tunnel?
Yeah, in the tunnel, there's a lot of really neat pictures of Don Haskins that span throughout the ages. And as someone who's a history buff like myself, I really would have just rather a set of pictures, you know, a poster that's just five or six different posters that are just pictures that are being reprinted of the Don Don Haskins. That would have been really nice, and I really would have enjoyed that. Yeah, the posters are cool, and I'll probably take all three home. But yeah, I think that a picture would have spoken 1,000 words.
All right. Well, I do believe that there will eventually be, and I mean this, there will be a Don Haskins statue poster night. I feel like that's coming. It's inevitable. I mean, it will be photographed once it's unveiled, and then, you know, everybody will then be able to do what they want to do with it. But in the meantime, for this particular purpose, and you know, I get it. I also understand what Alberto's saying. I like the fact that Alberto is confident that he will get all three. He's already calling his shots and basically telling everybody listening that I will own the set before you. I think that's kind of confident, cocky, and he probably is right, isn't he?
Well, I'm gonna just say this. Here's more free marketing, Steve, because you're exactly right. I hear what you're saying. Here's another free marketing idea. Okay, 1,000 plus, little plush bears with a little tie on it. Kids get it. First 1,000 in to the Don Haskins Center.
Maybe that happens down the road. Maybe they do that. I think that would be it. That'd be it. First off, I think that they're probably going to take those bears and make an actual plush figure out of it. I think they'd be crazy not to, don't you?
Right.
And maybe the bear along the back has like the signature of Don Haskins, like kind of like sewn in white with something like that.
Or even on like one of the paws or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that could work out, man.
I think people would eat that up. I really do.
We've got free marketing ideas over here for you, UTEP.
We always have free marketing. Nobody listens to us, but we have free marketing ideas. That's what we do. Hey, we'll come back, wrap it up next, right after SportsCenter. Here's Adrian as we continue. Up, Adrian. Let's check out social and check out Twitter and X. Here we go with some of the comments that have taken place regarding Alberto's rant that we replayed last hour. In fact, we started the hour with it. Look, this also came from Orly calling in, Enrique Ortiz. Hey, Adrian, I hope Cap had your emergency bar on standby. Enjoy your candy, bud.
Enrique, he did. Steve brought me over some chocolate. Thank you, Steve. And you know what? Thank you, Orly, because Orly texted me a picture of Thin Mints, by the way.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, that looks tempting. I might have to go double for this one.
Okay. So here's the question. How mad And be honest, how mad will Alyssa be if you break your lint?
Can
we get her on the phone and explain to her the situation? Do you think she'll understand if
no,
we try to talk her into it?
She will not understand it. She will be mad. She'll say all the right things, and then I'll get home, and it's like, wow, all right, so we're just breaking lint promises over here, right?
You think that's the way it's going to be?
Yes.
Really? But do you really think she would say the right things on the radio?
Yes,
do you
think she would say all the right things
on the radio. If I told her to just not hold back and be honest, do you think she would, or do you think she would say something?
I think she would just be very nice and be, oh, you know, yeah, yeah, that's right, like, go ahead, go for it, and I'll suffer on, you know, all the way up till March 31st.
I feel like she would be honest with you. I don't think she would have to wait till you get home. I feel like she would say that on the radio. I do.
Hate it. Yeah.
Do you think she would be afraid of coming on the air? Do you think she would be okay?
No,
with
I think she'd be okay. I right now she teaches dance, so she's unavailable, unfortunately. But
what
she
a
would
convenient
be.
What a convenient thing for you to know that she is always teaching during the show and not available to come on the program.
Okay, so just, you know, Wednesdays, 6 o'clock, she's, and shout out Breaking Beats on the West Side. She does have a 6 o'clock here on Wednesdays. Okay. So it's just select days, but yeah, maybe another time we could just call her. 6 o'clock hour would be perfect to call her, by the way.
I like that. Alberto, should Adrian break his lint vow after Orly broke his today?
No, I think there's just a little, there's more to hold out for. I think that's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Gotcha. El Paso Visuals. What makes Alberto's rant so good is his look and vibe in person. Let me explain. In person, I've barely seen him talk, let alone raise his voice above anything over an inside church voice. Keep that passion. Young sangre. I like that. Had to double check on that. Very nice. There you go.
Thank you, El Paso Deportivo Visuales.
Enrique Ortiz. Alberto was on to something, but El Paso does draw musical performances. In fact, the performing arts is drawing crowds. Do I think we need a nicer venue like an amphitheater? Absolutely. But the way it's going about is chaos. All right. So that was some of the stuff that came on board. And let me see what else I have. Paul Reynoso. If El Paso wants to continue to move forward, we have to stop the negativity and go all in. The downtown ballpark was a nice start, but a 7,000 arena in the union is not going to cut it. Give us what we originally voted for. That is what Paul said. Meanwhile, this comes from Jacob. I totally agree with you, Jacob Matthew says. But I'm also concerned about them continuing to push it off. As everything gets more expensive, the arena will continue to shrink in size. They need to just build something nice that adds to our downtown skyline, and people will be happy. We're going to talk to Joyce Wilson about this tomorrow. She's the former El Paso city manager. She is no longer the city manager. She is long retired. But Joyce will make her sports talk debut tomorrow at 4 o'clock when she stops by the district, which is where we'll be, 3233 North Mesa. Adrian, we're going to be there live. We're going to be giving away all sorts of goodies during the show tomorrow. I'm excited about that. Are they still doing the wrap special tomorrow, or what
is it?
That's
right, $8 chicken wrap with fries as well. So that's happening at the district happy hour all the way till 6. And if you don't go to the game, they'll have all the college basketball that you want to watch there out at the district. So if you are not making plans to go to the UTEP game, but you still want to join us and take advantage of good eats and drinks, join us at the district.
What are we doing? Are we doing the wraps tomorrow, or are we going to do the quesadillas?
I think... I feel like I've been I've been avoiding the quesadillas lately, so I got to go back.
Why have you been avoiding? They're so good.
Yeah,
is that why?
No, they're so good. Yeah. I just don't want to. I'll be honest with you, Steve. Do you ever eat like food and you really like it, and you're like, I don't want myself to hate this. Like I don't want to order it so much to where I get tired of it. Like I don't want to get tired of this quesadilla because
I'm
like
with
it
you
so much.
And by the way, the wrap was so good the last time. I've only had it once, and the fries were super crispy, which is the way I love them. And the wrap was filled and tasty. It's like it's hard to. I mean, it's a tough call. You know what we need to do? I have an idea. All right, here's what we're gonna do tomorrow. Okay, and this is you're not going to say no. This is happening.
Okay.
One of us will order a wrap. The other's going to order a quesadilla. We're going to have half and half.
Yes.
Best of both worlds. And we are going to be happy because that way we get a little bit of everything tomorrow at the district.
Man, you're a smart man. I'm so excited that you suggested this because now we get the best of both worlds. I love this. Yes, I'm all in. And our brass is welcome to join here too. So maybe you'll get an in-person Alberto rant if you stop by and say hi.
You never know. Could very well be happening. And now that Orly's broken Lent, he might as well just keep calling in, right? I mean, there's no reason for him to stop. I mean, it took him a week. He's got 33 days left of this, or 32 days, whatever it is. So he might as well just get back on the horn and start calling again because he's already broken it. So you can't go back and say, I'm going to start, you know, going back to my Lent. I mean, you've already done it. So start calling now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, now I'm thinking, does this mean I can spiral out of control? No, not really. Just let Orly continue to call in. He can call in as much as he wants.
But I feel like you should be able to have, like, if you need it, it's yours for you. You said it. If it's not tonight,
yeah,
it could be soon. You could say, all right, look, the truth is, you tied into Orly. You did. Alyssa's not going to understand this, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, wives never do. I'm just gonna, as somebody that's been married 18 years, I'm just going to tell you. They don't get it. They're not going to understand this. But on the air, you said, if Orly breaks Lent, that is my get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, he broke it. So as far as I'm concerned, I know you're going to have to deal with Alyssa. Hey, listen, man, married life ain't easy. It's not. You got to, you know, it's compromising. You got to have good discussions. But technically, you're off the hook, pal. So whenever you want to go for that sweet break, it's on. You're good to go. You've got my blessing.
Thank you. And you know what? All I need is you. I need Alyssa to bless off on it. And I need Jesus to bless off on it, too. So maybe we can get the trifecta and we can get this going.
I mean, listen, Jesus was a prophet. He's all about love and he gets
true.
It. He understands
yeah.
everything. So, you know, he wants what's best for everybody. So
I'm with you.
All right. We'll come back. Wrap things up. Final countdown. That's next. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.